Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for great things you have done. I'm saying to you that is even troubled, great things he has done. Lord, thank you. Jesus, be praised. We are grateful that we can call you Father. Thank you that you, the sovereign Lord, is our Father. We give thanks. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, I thank you for utterance. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you are granting us. You are speaking into our ears this morning. I ask, Father, that you think through my mind and speak through my lips. I ask that our hearts be settled in you. We rebuke the spirit of distraction. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our minds are renewed. Our lives transformed, our faith stirred up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' most mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give a neighbor a high five as you have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, some of us live alone in our compound. In your company, it's just you and your staff members and then clients. When you come to church, it's a place to loosen, because it's brethren. When it's dance time, dance well, because all through the week, have you danced? Daddy G, have you danced all through this week? Talk to you. You now come to church and you not dance. Is it the will of God? Praise the Lord. So when we come to church, we do what? That's where we loosen up. That's where we relax. Hallelujah. That's what we party, basically. Amen. We're not planning any Friday night or anything. Now here, Abby. Yeah. We thank the Lord that we can gather. God is good. You're welcome to church. Say to somebody, welcome to church. Oh, glory to God. We thank the Lord for Splendor Women Conference 2026 that took place yesterday. God is doing great and mighty things in our midst. These things are seeds planted, and I don't know why you didn't make it. I don't know why some of us didn't come. Well, regardless, the Lord did what he wanted to do. It was recorded, so feel free to listen to them. Amen. Feel free to listen to them. The Lord always has something for you. For in any event or program that he scheduled here. So if you are in town and you didn't come, that will not be good. That's not good, all right? But regardless, we thank the Lord. It went really well. So today, of course, this month we've started a series, The Sovereign Lord. And last Sunday I tried to bring again to our remembrance how big our God is. How that he's in charge, how that he's ruling, how that he is God all by himself. He's God in his class. There's nobody that is contending with him. Not you, not me, not Satan, not any demon. He's God over all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you went through your week with that mindset of, man, my God is big. Glory to God. So today, what I'm sharing is, Divine providence, God's hand in every season. Divine providence, God's hand in every season. God's hand in every situation. Hallelujah. This, Genesis 50 verse 19 and 20. Let's start our reading from there. Genesis 50. Genesis 15, okay, 19. All right, good. It says, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Verse 20, you intended to harm me. Let's read that together. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. Hallelujah. So we know the story, what had happened before now. The brothers of Joseph had betrayed him and sold him to Egypt, right?
And it was a life, man. It was really an experience Joseph had. So he had gone through that betrayal from the pits. He was sold to Egypt. He came to Egypt. He was in Potiphar's house. He was serving there. And then the wife, Potiphar's wife, came up, did her troubles, and then Joseph ended up in prison. Then from prison, Joseph ended up in the king's palace, right? So at a point, the king had a dream and needed an interpreter to tell him what the dream meant. And then Joseph was called up and he interpreted the dream. The king said, fine, so you'll be second only to me in this nation. So what you have, the solution you've preferred, execute it. So now there was famine. So his brothers had come. I'm just trying to explain what has happened before here, right? These brothers came to Egypt to buy food. Now, they don't know their brother anymore. But when they came, Joseph saw them and recognized them. Of course, Joseph was 17 at the time, right? If you now saw him when he was 30, and not just that he's 30, he was not a man in authority. He's like now the vice president of Nigeria. So a lot of things had changed about him. One, they are not expecting him to be in that position. He's not an Egyptian. But he was there. So when he saw them, he recognized them. And, long story short, eventually all the brothers had to come to stay in Egypt. At this point, the father had died, Jacob. So the brothers thought, now that Papa is dead, Joseph will start, who knows? He will now use his power that he has now and send all of us to prison because of what we did to him. So they gathered, what should we do? We'll go and tell him and beg him, see what our father said, though. That Papa said before he died. Meanwhile, Papa did not say anything. Papa said that you should have mercy on us. Just if you read the verses above, just forgive us. No, don't hold it against us. We think they're against you, no doubt. But just have mercy. Papa said you should not do us anything. So Bible says Joseph cried. He felt bad, right? And then he just said, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. He says, you intended it to harm me. I like how New King James says, he said, you intended it for evil. You intended it for evil. So it's not like you didn't know what you were doing. You intended it for evil, but God used that your evil, turned it for my good. So he says for the saving of lives. And of course, the brothers by being saying, you see now, so it wasn't really our fault. God wanted it to happen. So we just see something that God wanted to happen. What should we do? That's because God wanted to save lives. So he needed for us to align. And he said that he didn't give room for that. He said, you people intended it for evil. It's not God, it's you. So don't even think that one. Amen. But God meant it for good. Where am I going with this? Maybe before I continue, there's some a story I want to start with. So there's a book, the Gentle Breeze of Jesus. I even brought it here so I can read some part for you accurately. So Meltari wrote it. It's a sequel to Like a Mighty Wind. Okay, so you may want to read that too. Praise the Lord. So he was sharing a story how that the Lord has sent them to a particular village called Baob, something like that. And of course, in those days, they don't really have transportation system as we have now. Even if there is, the roads are not as good. Most of the villages are in the mountains. So he was traveling with eight, basically. So they were going to that village to preach the gospel. He said when they left in the morning, he didn't say in the morning, but when they left, he said he looked at the sun and said, hi, sun, you looked so bright and warm today. The sun was just cool on his body. But by the time they were halfway or wherever, the sun had become hot. But basically it's that they walked till evening. Because he said by the time they were entering the town, it was sunset. That is, the sun was setting. So they walked till their feet was hurting. Says he felt his bones were going to break. Just follow me. I know why I'm giving all these details. He felt like his bones were going to break and all of that. So he felt his head was like boiled egg. Everywhere was feeling hot. Now they came into this place. So they thought, okay, let's go to the pastor's house, which is the pastor of the place. That is naturally what you would do. As soon as they set to go to the pastor's house so they can stay the night at least, God spoke to their leader and said, don't go to the pastor's house. This big tree there, sleep under that tree, the 8 of you. You see why I was going through the details of all the things they went through. So people were walking from morning till evening. And God, I mean, he couldn't even be kind enough to let, because at that point, he was almost giving up on the journey. But then, where they were resting, they now saw the town. And then you were saying they should sleep. No, they didn't come with mats because I planned to go to the pastor's house to sleep. So they slept under the tree with stones as pillows. So Mel said that he was just mumbling. I was like, what kind of thing is this? And God said to him, I left my palace and came down to earth just for you. Is this a big sacrifice that you can't do for me? Just one night. So he said, oh, Father, I'm sorry. He repented and said, thank you for an opportunity to show how much I love you. Then they slept there. Now, this is where I'm going. So in the morning, as soon as it was morning, say it was too cold in the morning, they couldn't sleep anymore. So they woke up, made fire. They were trying to warm themselves. Then this strange-looking man came to them under that tree where they were and began to say some stories to them or share some stories with them. Said that rainy season should have started 2 months ago, but it hadn't started till now. And that at this point, the people of the village are already worried that they are going to starve. So he has been praying to devil, follow me. He has been praying to devil, who he is serving, to give them rain, but the devil hasn't given them rain yet. But that before, if he just asks the devil for something, the devil does it. Okay? So when he asks the devil for this, the devil does it. When he asks, so even when he asks for rain, they get rain. So this particular time, he said he went up the mountain and made a sacrificed a chicken to the devil and asked him for rain. When he got back, he dreamt. And in the dream, somebody now said to him, a man said to him, that the devil has been stealing his rain. So you will not get rain again. It's not because I let him jig it. So you will not get rain again ever by, you know, talking to devil. The devil will not do it. He will give you rain again. So he was wondering, so who will not give us rain? What should we do? He didn't understand it. He sacrificed goats, all manner of things. He just kept sacrificing and sacrificing. The rain wasn't forthcoming. He said then he now went to the highest mountain in the village there and sacrificed a cow. Maybe he didn't like the small, small things. He made it a cow. He said he came down and he had the same dream. And that man said to him, I told you the devil will not give you rain again. You will not even get rain any other way. Here is what you will do. Tomorrow morning, go to this tree, so place. 8 of my servants are there. They will tell you what to do. So now he's telling them, right? So this is why I'm here. So you should tell me what I need to do. So Mel said that one of his eyes seemed blind. You know, he just had this white scale showing that he's blind with his hair, long hair, greasy. So they were just, now it makes sense where they were. But that's not even the reason that tells you, what about, can't he come to the pastor's house? He said the man hated the pastor, has been doing everything possible to frustrate the pastor's ministry. So there's no way the Lord will send him there and he will be willing to go to the pastor's house. Which is why the Lord did not let them go into the pastor's house. He said, sleep here. This is where he'll be willing to come. Now, this is a man who didn't know God. What I'm trying to explain or express is permutations that God do that man don't know. Now, this man, he was grumbling that the Lord said, sleep here. But he didn't know that the Lord, there's something that has been going on. The Lord has been plotting a man that God wants to send to them. Hallelujah. So, of course, they now told him about all that the person that is talking to you is Jesus Christ. So he will come into your life. He's one that can do all of that. So prayed for him. He was excited. You know, he started to pray, asking the Lord to come into his life and all of that. The man gave his life to Christ there. And then he asked him, Oh, please, can you pray for rain? That rain will come on the land. They said, we will pray, but rain will not fall until we finish our program and go. Say wisdom. We came for a program. Now we should not pray for rain to fall as well. He said, we'll pray, but rain will not fall until we leave. He said, his eyes, he asked for prayers for his eyes. They prayed, God answered, healed him instantly. His eyes began to see. I've basically told all the story. I thought I was going to read it, but anyway. The good news about this is that he's one of the biggest chief priests or demon worshippers in the land. So with what had happened, you know what he did? He now took the gospel. When they were having that their program, he brought all of those, their fetish things and all of that, and they burnt all of them. So he now began, a man who has such an influence on people, people bring things to him. He said, no. See, I know what works now. So from him, many of the people in the community were now drawn to Christ. Till he died, he said. He was a leader, a solid leader of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, picture it. God said, go to this place. And people set off in obedience, started to go. They didn't know that there was a man. They didn't know anything. Now, see the ripple effect of obedience. See, God is sovereign. He was suffering, though, remember. The sun was hot. God did not even say, okay, sun, just be mild. Don't blow their head too much. Just be mild. No, the sun was hitting their head as hard as it can hit it. At the end of the day, so they didn't just reap one soul. They reaped tons of souls. The story of Joseph that we're reading now, how did it start? The father loved the boy, made a coat of many colors and gave him. His brothers became jealous. He sold, then that's how they betrayed, sold him to Egypt. Who would have known that when the Lord said to him in a dream, when he saw himself rather, that his family were bowing down to him, right? He saw that he would be in a place of authority and he would begin to imagine, I know that God has made me to be a person of influence like he has made us. Amen. That he has made me to be a person of influence, a leader. People will be bowing down to me. So there's an expectation because God has shown me a picture. And then you wake up one day and your brothers had dealt with you, stripped you, and threw you in a pit. You are still begging them to show you mercy. They said, no, let's not even, just be going. And sold you off. 70-year-old. That's some betrayal, right? I'm trying to tell it this way so you can begin to draw it home. You are not the only one that has been betrayed in the past. Praise the Lord. But you see, in the midst of betrayals, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. In the middle of disappointment, God is God. He's good. I can just imagine or picture yourself saying, Lord, this is not what you promised me. Why am I now being sold as a slave? Me, that is my father's favorite child. He got to Egypt, was in Potiphar's house. He began to take responsibility, began to serve. As though that wasn't enough, he was also accused falsely. Remember, a person of influence. And then he ended up in prison for something he didn't do. God, are you faithful? Are you still God? Are you seeing all of this? Is this what you said? Why is this happening to me? So he stayed in prison for about 3 years, I believe it is. And then when he, of course, it's not in the third year he did this. In the first year, the butler and the baker had dreams. Joseph gave interpretation of the dreams and told the butler, right? Remember me when you get there. Now, butler got there, forgot all about him. Let's even picture, because I'm saying that man is wicked. But let's imagine that he remembered him. And they released him from prison. Remember, at that time, the king had not dreamed. So what would he have done? He would have, thank you, Jesus, you have set me free from this prison. Let me cook my be doing what? Going back to my papa's house. Abi? and destiny will have been aborted. But because it wasn't time, I'm trying to say there are prayers you're making, but the Lord is waiting for his time. Because if he answered you, destiny will be aborted. Do you understand? If he answered you right now, destiny will be aborted. So I said, I've answered you. I've heard you. Follow me. I've heard you, but follow me. Joseph was there in the prison, remained faithful, kept serving, joyfully kept serving, until the fullness of time, or at the fullness of time, Pharaoh dreamt. Suddenly, the butler who had forgotten, now remembered, oh, there was somebody I met. He didn't just remember, it was time to remember. See, you are unforgettable, except the Lord says, forget him. So you're expecting that somebody that, oh, I mess, no, after all I did, I know that when, and the person just acts as if I don't even know you. See, the Lord says, forget him. He came into you, of course, when shaved, came into, so that's how you got to the king's palace, right? Started to serve there. A famine was going to come. The sovereign Lord already knew. Joseph didn't know. Nobody knew. Only God. So, like he said, God sent me. It wasn't you. God sent me. It wasn't your betrayal. God sent me. I'm explaining to us God's hand in times, God's hand in things that happen in our lives. You may not see it. You may not know it because at the time, you didn't see it. But eventually, you arrive where God wants you to arrive if you follow him. All right? So he got, at that point, he brought everybody, that is his family, the Hebrew brothers, all of them, his father, all of them, Jacob and his sons, yes. And they were now living in Egypt. That's how that nation was saved. It is from this nation that time again, that series, God chose them, saved them, took them out of Egypt, established them in their land, just continue to walk with them. And then one day, a virgin conceived the child, and it was Jesus. What this means is, so if the betrayal didn't happen, I can even say it this way, so all of these stories started with that funny cloth of many colors. So if there was no cloth of many colors, there was no intense jealousy that would not lead to them throwing Egypt and selling him off, it wouldn't lead to a nation, right, being just all of that scenario, all of those activities, situations or things that happened, events that took place wouldn't have happened. To the end that we came to the point where Jesus was born. Now, think about it. The story about Jesus, his death is the most cruel, the most wicked events that happened in the history of mankind. Forever and ever. Do you agree with me? The death of Jesus, his crucifixion, is the most cruel thing that ever happened, the most wicked thing, the most evil thing that ever happened on this earth. But you see, the day Jesus died was on a Friday. And we don't even call it Bad Friday. The most wickedness of men. And we call it Good Friday. Why? In the middle of the wickedness, in the middle of the intense cruelty of man, God was rotting his goodness. God was working out his goodness through the wickedness of men. Through the evil in the hearts of men, God did the most miracle on earth, the salvation of your soul and my soul. Say to somebody, God is good. Come on, shake your neighbor, say, God is good. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. So if something, a situation or a situation as gory as the story of Jesus' death will bring forth this sort of good, I'm saying to you that your life is a course, is a journey. You may not understand what is going on right now. Jesus, at a point, was like, Father, this thing is too hard. It's too hard. is too hard. Can we do away with it? Is there any other way? Oh, but there was no other way. So to you, there are times there is no other way. There is no other way. Except that my grace is sufficient for you. It's not every trial you can pray away. If you are sleeping, say amen. Hallelujah. It's not every trial you can pray away. Just like I said, there are things that you have gone through. If the Lord ended it, you wouldn't have developed the strength you have now. You would have developed the tenacity, the patience you have now. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes this just God's sovereignty. My life, for example. When I was just minding my business in Oka, Abi, doing my office work, just being a happy, fine girl, working in the hospital. And then somebody calls. I am such a person from Kingdom Word Ministry. I say, am I owing them? Oh, what's happening? Is he well? It is well. So that conversation was what brought me back to Enugu. We got married here. That's how come I came to church, in case you didn't know. I'm trying to see God's plans, God's hand in our lives. So many things happened, had happened that seemed like I didn't even know where I was going with my life. But you see, I never knew that God would have instructed a man probably 10 years before or 9 years before to go to Enugu, start up a church. You are going to connect with somebody 10 years from now or 9 years from now who will be serving under you. See, I'm saying that you are seeing today, God has seen the end from the beginning. I couldn't have fathomed it. You couldn't have fathomed it. None of us could have. But it's the hand of God working through our lives every day. If we understand this, you will find that you will just rest in the Lord God and say, God got me. So you may seem like you're confused. It may seem like you don't even know what is going on. But it's all part of the process. God is not confused. God is as stable as the word stable. More than stable. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. There were times if I could have been praying, Lord, send me here. I've said it here before. I planned to leave Nigeria now. Did passports. Was planning seriously. I'm going to Jakba. Now then, Jakba is not even, it wasn't as loud as it is now. Did passport. Was telling my parents how I was going to go and do lab science in America. This is America. Praise God forevermore. The righteous can plan his life, but the Lord orders it. The Lord directs it. You can plan it, but God orders it. It will seem like you are making a mistake. You enter the relationship, he had hit a wall. Oh, mine hit a wall too. And thank God he did. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. So it's good that he hit a wall as long as you are still following the Lord. Many of the things we go through is God dusting out, taking out dirty from our lives, sharpening our minds, increasing our strength and capacity, helping us be more discerning. If I could share the mics to some of our sisters or our brothers who are married here, if you had married the first person who talked to you, you will not be where you are today. But when it broke, when the relationship, when it felt like the end of the world, like I'm going to die. Let's pray. You are even praying, Lord, restore us together. Gum us together. Please, gum us. God is saying, if I gum you, you will die. Just eat the breakfast. Eat it well and move on. Because already I have a full course meal planned out for you, not just the breakfast. So deal with the breakfast first and move on. If you don't chop the breakfast, they go chop your life. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So there are doors, if the Lord had opened, you would have been lost. But God knows you. He knows his plan for your life. Esther and Mordecai, Esther was just a young girl without her parents were gone, were dead, right? And then through Mordecai, just these events were just happening. Vashti said, King, please don't use me and do display. I don't want that kind of thing. And they sent her packing and brought in Esther. I hope you know there are plenty of stories behind this thing. Please go and read this, the book of Esther. I'm just wrapping up the stories. So Esther came in, but of course, you're not able to just go and see the king because you're feeling like it. I'm in the mood to see the king. Let me go. Mba. You dare not. So then the Jews were going to be killed. So Mordecai was saying, you have to go and see the king. Remember, the sovereign Lord already knew that a day will come, the Jews will be facing life sentence. That is, their lives will be on the line. Mordecai didn't know. But somehow, the Lord was ordering the steps of his people, planning that this is how it will play out. Until Esther was the one serving as queen. So she was saying, no, I can't go and see the king. Girl. You know, you can kill me. And he said, Esther chapter 4, verse 14. He says, listen, you can choose to be silent. But remember that God will bring salvation for the Jews somewhere else. But peradventure, for this reason, you were sent here. So is it possible that you are sent into that family to bring deliverance into that family? Is it possible that that man had never experienced love in his life and the Lord has sent you to bring his love into his life? And you now went there and you are demanding for love he doesn't have. Amen? Is it just possible that in that organization that the Lord has sent you there to lighten up the place? You want them to send you out. Meanwhile, God wants you there. Oh, they have sent everybody. Everybody has gone for, you know, different countries. They are sending everybody, only me. God's hand in every step of your life. The thing, if you think about it, the reason you studied the course you studied is in the Lord's hands. The reason you have the personality you have is God's plan for your life. Sometimes we want to be like some other people. Oh, that she's always so happy. She's always so outspoken. She's always so quiet. So I want to be quiet. You know how Jeremiah said, I will not talk again. Let me just be quiet. And the Bible said what? Kole wek. It was like fire shot in his bones. He couldn't keep quiet. You must say it. I've called you to be saying. So saying, you shall. Praise God forevermore. God is good. He says, you intended it for evil. But God turned it around for my good. Does it relate with Romans chapter 8, verse 28? Put it up. Let's read together. Romans 8, 28. Let's read together, everybody. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things. So I tried to just read it up a bit. Works together for good. That all things works together for good. And of course, it's New Testament, so it's written in Hebrew originally. The meaning of it is, I'll not go through the name, something about synergy, but the meaning is cooperate or partners together into a state of benefit or goodness. It says this is where the word, the English word synergy comes from. It says partners together in a state of benefit or goodness. What does this say to you? Everything that happens in your life partners together. They are cooperating together. Remember, when Jesus was killed, they thought they were doing God a service. They thought they were doing the right thing. But God was doing the right thing. Hallelujah. God was doing the right thing. It was painful, but through this painful experience, God did the best good that mankind has experienced forever and will ever experience, basically. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so good. So God can use what others meant for evil and through it birth his plans, his purposes for your life. So he doesn't say, I will take away all the evil. I will make sure nobody hurts you. I will take away all the harm. He says, through it all, my hand is there. Through it all, my hand is on you. My hand is on you. It may not make sense today, but my hand is on you. So delays are not necessarily that God has denied it. Is that walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. If Abraham had taken Ishmael and continued with him, God's sovereign plan would have done what? Been thwarted. Hallelujah. God's sovereign plan would have been thwarted. There's a reason you didn't get that job. There's a reason you didn't get that job. If I left this country when I wanted to leave it, I won't ever come back. I'll hardly come back. So before Pastor traveled, there was a job opportunity that came up. So one of my colleagues, my classmates rather, sent me that link, you know, to apply for it. Then I was just running a small shop somewhere around my place. So she was like, I should apply for it. So of course, I knew that if I applied, now this is where I did my internship. So I already had people who were saying that if we are now taking people, the ones who call back. So I knew that if I had applied, went there, talked to them, or I've applied, that somehow I'll get the job. But you see, it just did not feel right to apply for the job. Brothers and sisters, is it good to apply for a job when you are not having a stable job? And no, it's not like your business have taken off and you are, you know. Is it wrong to apply for a job? But it just didn't feel right to apply for that job. Now my friend felt bad. She was like, I'm not serious. I'm not sure of my life. What do you mean? I'm giving you, saw this one. You didn't want to take it and all of that. But I just felt for no reason, I shouldn't apply for it. It wasn't too long. I saw why I shouldn't apply for it. Imagine that today you came to church. They said, Pastor is on call in the hospital. It would have been a lot to deal with. I'll be struggling. Should I not? Do you know where I'm getting to with all of this? Please, let's surrender to God 100%. Knowing that your steps are being ordered. Your steps are being ordered. See, your life is in his hands. Your life is in his hands. No matter how terrible a situation, no matter how frustrating a challenge, no matter how confusing an experience, God's goodness is working out his good from that. He's working out his good from that. So you didn't get the promotion. Promotion does not come from where? Promotion comes from? Then that settles it for you. Promotion comes from the Lord. So if I didn't get it, it's not you, my boss. If I've not been promoted, it's not you, Oga, that is saying I should not be promoted. It's that God said, still stay here. Because you can't stop me from being promoted. I'm working. You can't stop me from being promoted. If we truly understand this God we call Father, and how that He's in charge of our lives, you can't be saying, my business has not picked up because somebody is doing something and their business is going, your own is not going. You can't be, do you understand? You can't talk like that. It may not make sense, but He's working it out. It may not make sense, but He's working it out. God is working it out. There are many persons that are around you today who the Lord has set around you. The reason why you are where you are is for those people. The Lord sent you there because there are people He has called you to disciple through your life, through the words you speak. The question is, are you doing the job? Or you're in a hurry to get on the next phase? Are you doing the job? Have you aligned with what everybody is doing? Or do you understand that you are in this sphere, you are in this industry to stand out? The book of Samuel we're reading. Saul was busy looking for his father's donkey, Abby, that God lost. My father lost his donkey. Let's go and look for it. As far as he's concerned, that was what he's doing. That was all that there is to it. Hallelujah. But you see, a people had asked for a king. As long as Saul is concerned, me, it no concerns me. It concerned me not. Because the Bible says at that time he was timid. He was the tallest. He was the tallest, really. But he was very timid. So he couldn't have even begin to, people that wants to be king, come out. He wouldn't come out. So he was looking for his father's donkey with his servant. But God has spoken to Samuel that at so time, that's specific. At this time, a man is coming to you looking for his father's donkey, anointing king. So the guy was just, Father, give me, just help me find this donkey. That was his prayer point. I'm asking you, Jesus, help me find this donkey. Where will I find this donkey? Where will I find this donkey? He didn't know. As far as God is concerned, the conversation is not about donkey. It's not about donkey at all. It is that is the thing I want to use to drag you to where I want you to get to. So when his servants now say, we have looked everywhere. Of course, they had to look everywhere because there had to be a timing when someone would have arrived where he will go so that they will not arrive there earlier than they should. Are you seeing what God was orchestrating, and people were just busy minding their business, living their lives? So don't you think you hearing this message that was orchestrated perfectly by God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the time he got there, someone was there. So, we came to look for our donkey. Please, we are just begging you, prophet, help us, you know, ask God for our donkey. Prophet, so I got to see that. That's not the conversation for today. You sleep here first. Tomorrow, you're going, leave donkey. You have seen donkey. You have arrived. So that was how Saul was anointed king. God anointed him king. This is why, as believers, hustling is not the will of God for you. Amen? You are hustling and plotting and scheming and plotting and scheming and plotting and scheming. You know, if I do it like this, I will get the job. If I do it like this, I will get the promotion. If I do it like this, they'll give me the contract. That's why you've not gotten it. Those schemings, those plottings, the reason I'm buying gifts every day, I know that at least let Oga like me so he can give me promotion. They'll not promote you to a place you'll be signing the checks that God has been put. Don't bother with the promotion. That place is a corruption squad. You won't deal with it. So no, Oga like me. Oga, when people do something, you can tell them, Oga, this is the people that are doing this thing. Just so you can be friends with Oga. That's how people get into things God has been shielding them from. Oh, no, we are getting older. We have to get married. Oh, Lord, what should we do? Okay, let's get pregnant or let's quickly carry our bag and go and be living with the man. Just 2 weeks. By the time we get pregnant, he will marry us. I'm saying those schemings is not the way of the Christian. It's not the way of a child of God. Let's do this. Let's just in case. Let's do just in case. Where is the room of the sovereign hand of God upon your life? Have you become sovereign over your life that you have to order your steps accurately? It has to work the way you planned it. Oh, it has to stand in line the way you planned it. It's either it works or we walk away. As if God cares. I won't come to church again because God did not. God is still God. His loving kindness is also reaching you in that your anger and foolishness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want this. We want that. Oh, let's go there. You run and go there. Let's go there. You run and go there. Let's go to the water. You go to the water. Let's go to this. No. Our lives are ordered by the Lord. It hadn't worked, but God is in control.
Pastor Banky had often shared the story of how that a woman lost her child and some people started to tell her how that it's one woman who is a witch who, killed the child. And she laughed. I said, I leave this matter. It's between me and God why my child died. But nobody can kill my child. So leave that one first. There's this thing we do a lot about this, that is explaining things according to the flesh. The reason why this did not happen is because I did not have money. The reason why I missed out on this opportunity is because I did not have anybody. The reason this happened is everything you explain it with the eye of the natural, the flesh. So if you were in a hurry to leave here now and get to, say, Old Park to buy something, and somehow God was restraining you, you didn't know. Probably somebody annoyed you. Or let's even say the Lord was restraining you, you didn't get it. As soon as you got out that place, a car hits your car, and then you're not parked there and you are gisting and gisting and gisting and gisting, right? If you now heard that, God forbid, there was something violent, maybe there was gunshots that happened there,
in Obete, and you check the time, it was the time you could have been in Obete, would you still be angry that somebody bashed your car? Suddenly, it makes sense. No wonder this happened. There are delays that has happened. It is that God wants you to stay here first. There is danger ahead. Let it pass. Let it pass. But because we are explaining it with what we can see, just say, God, why now? God, why now? God, why now? Am I a Janglova? God, why now? Move us fast. Move us fast. God is not a slow God, neither is he a fast God. He's God. His timing is perfect. All things work together for the good of they that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things. Please, I really want to sound that. Don't be a person that is scheming for things. Don't be a person that is, that you are trying to have your way by crook or by hook or crook. One governor said, how did he sing it again? It was a political song that time, that we're going to be plucking the orange, whether it is ripe or it is not ripe. Mortar, we'll be plucking it. And you know what? God said, go and be plucking it in your village. Amen? What are we saying? You see this Nigeria. Say Nigeria is the Lord's. Come on, church. Nigeria is the Lord's. Nigeria is the Lord's. Nigeria belongs to God. In the midst of the whole chaos that is going on, best believe, where it will arrive is exactly where God will have it arrive. Exactly where God wants it to arrive. We'll be talking about our own response to it the next time I come, here. But God is sovereign. He's in charge. Nothing takes him by surprise. Not your life, not my life, not Nigeria. Nothing takes God by surprise. There's that song. He took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it for good. He turned it for good. Oh, he took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it for good. He turned it for good. So somebody had promised you and failed. Rejoice. Be grateful to God. Don't mind it. You missed your flight. Peradventure, there is a reason the Lord had you miss it. Hallelujah. The Lord is prompting your heart to talk to somebody. Talk to that person. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's understand that the sovereign God has us. God has us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say with me, I know that all things work together for me. I mention your name, Chisom. I know that all things work together for me, Chisom, who loves the Lord and are called and is called according to his purpose. Can you say that with me again? I know beyond every shadow of doubt. Thank you, Lord. He's working it out. All things are working out for my good because I love the Lord and I am called according to his purpose. Say, nothing works against me. You know what he said? He said, he suffers no man to do them harm. So they can experience harmful things, but he suffers nobody to harm them. He suffers nobody to end their lives. He suffers nobody to cause them harm. Whatever kind of harm. Whoever it is. You have the promise of God. Say, I know that all things work together for my good. Because I love the Lord. And I am called according to his purpose. I rest in the Lord. I put my trust in him. I depend wholly on the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.